From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns commences his 12th message in a series expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is The Covenant of Redemption. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Prayer, Thanksgiving, Praise. The text is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No care, but all prayer. No anxiety, but much joyful communion with God. Carry your desires to the Lord of your life, the guardian of your soul. Go to Him with two portions of prayer and one of fragrant praise. Do not pray doubtfully, but thankfully. Consider that you have your petitions, and therefore thank God for His grace. He is giving you grace. Give Him thanks. Hide nothing. Allow no want to lie rankling in your bosom. Make known your requests. Run not to man. Go only to your God, the Father of Jesus, who loves you in Him. This shall bring you God's own peace. You shall not be able to understand the peace which you shall enjoy. It will enfold you in its infinite embrace. Heart and mind through Christ Jesus shall be steeped in a sea of rest. Come life or death, poverty, pain, slander, you shall dwell in Jesus above every ruffling wind or darkening cloud. Will you not obey this dear command? Yes, Lord, I do believe Thee. But I beseech Thee, help mine unbelief.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a memory sweeter than song. In celestial life's strains it unceasingly fall.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, let The Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. In this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, Dr. Cairns now comes to an exposition of verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This verse brings us to the agreement in eternity past between the first and second persons of the Holy Trinity. In what theologians call the covenant of redemption, God the Father commissioned God the Son to undertake the salvation of a great host of sinners through becoming a man and dying on the cross. Here we see the purpose of God in the death of Christ, the redemption of a people who would otherwise spend eternity in the torments of hell. Now to introduce this message entitled, The Covenant of Redemption, here is Dr. Cairns.
Isaiah 53, we read from the 7th verse. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this familiar reading from his own precious and inspired word. We come this morning to the verse 10 of Isaiah 53. Some of the most outstanding words in Scripture, in some ways, at least at the beginning of the text, some of the apparently strangest words in Scripture. Words indeed so strange at the beginning of this text that when the old translators came to translate from Hebrew into what is known as the Septuagint version, the Greek version of the Old Testament Scriptures, they said, yet it pleased the Lord to cleanse him, softening the apparent hardness, the what to them must have seemed outlandish statement of this text. But we may well learn that it is never good to correct God. If the Lord says something, it is not outlandish. If the Lord says something, it is true. And we would be better to seek to understand what he says as he says it than ever seek to correct the meaning of God the Holy Spirit. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make, or as I think is more accurate as an expression of what the Lord did say originally, when his soul, or even more exactly, if his soul, the word means literally, if, that's the basic force of it, if his soul shall make an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The great Puritan preacher Thomas Manton, who wrote an extensive treatment of Isaiah 53, when he came to this verse, said, "I do not find a verse in the Scriptures that doth yield more consolation and comfort for Christians than this doth." And then he went on to exclaim, "Oh, what a heap of sweetness is here if we had the skill to draw out the comfort of it." Manton was right. It's my prayer today that by the grace of God, we will have the divine skill to draw out the comfort of it, and to understand something of the consolation and the sweetness that is in this tremendous statement of the Word of God, that it pleased God to bruise His Son, that God put Christ to grief, and said, "If His soul shall make an offering for sin, then he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah, or the good purpose of Jehovah, will prosper in his hand." You may recollect that I have been showing that from the beginning of verse 8, the prophet has been setting forth the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 ends with Christ led as a lamb to the slaughter. Verse 8 says, "He was taken." The word is the same as when the Lord took Elijah or the Lord took Enoch by translation into heaven. It is the word that I pointed out was used in the 49th Psalm to describe the resurrection from the body, of the body from the dead. He was taken out of prison. He was taken out from the judgment of men and of God in a mighty act of resurrection and of glorification. Who shall declare his generation? And here then is the exaltation of Christ, by the hand of God exalted, and with such an exaltation, who will ever be able to declare A, his eternity, and B, the number of his spiritual seed? The reason for this exaltation, verse 8 and verse 9, for, or because he was cut off. Why did God raise him? Because he died an atoning death. Verse 9, why did God raise him when man gave him a death that was ignominious and appointed him a grave with the wicked? God showed his exaltation by giving him the virgin grave of the rich man. Why? Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So we have seen that the verse 8 gives us the exaltation, and with verse 9 it gives us the reason or the ground of that exaltation in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the words of our text, this same subject, the exaltation of Christ, on the basis of his death, is gone into a little further and a little more deeply. You see, here the prophet is preparing the way for the great climax of the chapter in the closing verses. And in the verse we have taken this morning, verse 10, he looks at the whole matter of Christ's death, providing the basis of his exaltation. He looks at it from an angle that he has not mentioned in all this discourse. What he's dealing with here, as you'll see very clearly when we look into the verse, is the covenant of redemption and its bearing on the death and exaltation of Christ. The covenant of redemption and its bearing on the death and exaltation of Christ. Now, there are three things that I want to point out in the text on this great theme. First, the purpose of God in the death of Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. The word pleased here is basically the same word as the word that is later translated the pleasure of the Lord. It speaks of the good purpose of God. God, and I say this because these scriptures indicate it, God was delighted with a purpose of grace towards sinners to put his Son to the agony of Calvary. It pleased him because he had a purpose of good for sinners to put his Son to the awful death of the cross. The purpose of God in the death of Christ. The second thing that we will have to look at is the nature of the work of Christ in his death. His soul made an offering for sin, or quite literally, his soul made what is called in the book of Leviticus, the same Hebrew word, a trespass offering. The nature of Christ in his death, or death, his work in his death. And then the third thing, the fruit of the death of Christ. He'll see his seed, he'll prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now I must confess to you that when I announced that those are the three points in the text, it daunts me greatly, because that really is the outline of a prolonged series of studies, if you really want to go through the scriptures on those things. I'm going to try to condense so that we don't make Isaiah 53 into a multi-volume commentary. So we're going to come to consider first the purpose of God in the death of Christ. I want you to notice right away that God had a very clear and definite purpose in Christ's death. It pleased the Lord. He had the purpose to bruise him. The word may have the signification to crush him. God hath put him to grief. According to this purpose of God, the Lord Jesus Christ had to die the death of the cross. Now, we find, when we turn to the Gospels, that there came a band of men into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas delivered Christ to them. They delivered Christ to Annas. Annas delivered Christ to Caiaphas. Caiaphas delivered Christ to Pilate. Pilate delivered Christ to the soldiers. And the soldiers delivered Christ to the cross. When you read the gospel narrative, you see the wicked hand of man in the death of Jesus Christ. You see the criminal mind of the creature as it rises in rebellion against God. And from hand to hand, they pass the Son of God, staining the hands of Jews and Gentiles, of irreligious and religious leaders, with the blood of God's dear Son. But you know, if that is all you see, you're missing the heart of the gospel. If it were only true that men delivered Christ, then he would be no more than a martyr in a good cause. But you see, the scriptures say that God delivered Christ. In the purpose of God, in the will of God, by the determination of God, by the appointment of God, from eternity, Jesus Christ was delivered to die.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.